And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. My name is Dr. Patty, and we are going to be talking about something that so many people struggle with, and it's called Busy Brain Syndrome. The acronym for it is BBS, and so many people just can't quiet their minds. Some people call it their monkey mind. Some people say, I'm always thinking of something. I can't ever shut myself up. And it can be pretty stressful. Sometimes we embrace a busy mind because we think it is making us productive. Sometimes it creates great pain for us. And sometimes it just heightens our anxiety. So today we're going to be dissecting it a little bit, busy brain syndrome, understanding what it is, and some of the motivation of why we allow our brains to do that. And by the end of the show, I want to give you some very concrete coping skills so that you can learn why you do busy brain and how you can calm that brain down. So stay with us. We're going to talk about it. We're going to have some beautiful calming music between segments of the show. And after a while, I'm going to give away a free CD. So let's talk about what exactly is busy brain syndrome. Think of it as that monkey mind. You always have to be thinking of something, anticipating something. It can often feel like anxiety, but it isn't always anxious and fearful. Sometimes it's just busy. You know, think of a 2-year-old who's running around, and sometimes they feel hyperactive, and sometimes they just feel curious and busy and thinking of everything, and then they see something over here, and they want to go over there and explore that. So is it always negative? Not necessarily. Is it often a struggle? Yes. And over my 30 years in private practice as a marriage family therapist in Northern California, I hear people talk about this unquiet mind a lot. And I'll share with you, I can think of many things all at once and run down a whole lot of different avenues of thought, and especially when things are quiet. My worst time for busy brain in my life is when I wake up in the middle of the night at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's like, kapow, my brain kicks in, and I want to start thinking of all the things I need to do or should have done or things I'm worried about. If I'm stressing about anything, which, you know, I'm a mom, so you can stress about your kids just about any time, that will keep me awake, and I will start actively trying to work to shut my brain down. For a long time, when I would start into just constant thoughts in the middle of the night, I would just struggle with it. I'd toss and turn, or I'd get up and walk around, and if I got out of bed and walked around, then I was wide awake. Once I was wide awake, it was all over. I wasn't going back to sleep. So I actively started working on things to do that would quiet my brain. I share some of those things and share how to deal with an anxious brain in my other podcast on anxiety. So you can go to my podcast channel, which is Anchor, the Anchor app, A-N-C-H-O-R. And you can download my podcasts for free and listen to them. You can also access them on iTunes, Spotify, or just about any other channel that carries podcasts. So listen to the anxiety one. That will really help you with some other concrete skills. But what I noticed for myself is when my brain was very active in the middle of the night, I had to start to train my brain to be quiet. So let's look at that concept with the idea of this busy brain syndrome. Sometimes we inadvertently positively reinforce ourselves when we are going all over the place trying to think of things. We think that we are trying to gain control. We want to be aware and noticing things that are happening. We don't want to be found wanting or ignorant or not prepared. So we tend to anticipate all sorts of things that can happen. There's a phenomenon that I call anticipatory anxiety or anticipatory fear. And that's when our busy little brains jump forward, figure out something bad might happen, and we start getting anxious now just in case. Or we get fearful now just in case. It's an attempt to be ready and to be in control of what could happen. If you're very intelligent, you probably have a very active busy brain, because often in high intelligence is related to creativity, and creativity is related to constantly thinking of things that you could do or want to do or that somebody could do to help themselves, or that person over there and you could help them. And so your brain is constantly noticing and looking and trying to anticipate. So often busy brain people are very intelligent. Sometimes we think of busy brain people as ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And of course, that can be part of it. Sometimes people with ADHD have a lot of trouble quieting their minds. And sometimes they're not an ADHD person. They can focus. They can sit still. When they need to, they can be very on task. Busy brain syndrome happens when they are trying to be everything. Sometimes I think of it as the superhero syndrome. You're trying to anticipate and think about everything that's going on and be prepared and be available to help this person and that person and keep that person from getting hurt, or anticipate that your child's going to fall and not skin his knee. You want to, you know, keep that from happening. So the anxiety about it, the anticipatory anxiety, the intelligence to be running down all those different paths to try and anticipate what's going to go on, can create this very, very active brain, which can be very, very stressful. So what I'm hoping now is that a bunch of you are nodding your heads going, oh yeah, that's me, and are looking for some answers. So we're going to be doing that in the show. I really want you to have a feeling that you can start to use some tools. So one of the things about busy brain that I really want you to understand as well is that it can be an avoidance thing. If you're trying to not think about something or not feel something or not deal with something, you can kick your brain into high gear and think about everything else but the thing that you either should be thinking about or do not want to think about. I had to come to terms with this after my husband, Rich, died of a terminal brain disease called behavioral variant frontal temporal degeneration. And it was a very, very stressful time doing the caregiving and loving him and watching him deteriorate. It was horrendous. But I recognized that I would get very busy in my head because I really didn't want to think about how hard it was. I didn't want to think about him dying. I just wanted to be anywhere else but that spot in my brain. So I recognized that, and there's a coping skill for that avoidance that I'm going to give you by the end of the show, too, because it's important. Sometimes we have to embrace the stuff we don't want to feel. Sometimes we have to do what I call sit and hold the dog poop, which is it gets plopped in your hands and you've got to feel it and smell it and see it and experience it and not either throw it all over the room or smear it on someone else or stuff it all over yourself. You have to just hold it and feel it. So we're talking about busy brain syndrome and that whole monkey mind thing that people do. And there's another phenomenon that goes with that. It's a thing that I call rabbit trails. And I often teach this to people in my private practice. And I see people that have that kind of mind where they do rabbit trails. And this is not necessarily a bad thing, but I want to help you to get a handle on exactly what rabbit trails are and how do you utilize them to your best ability and get something from them, but not let them take over and run you all around and run you ragged and wear you out. So we're going to take a break in just a moment. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about what rabbit trails are, how to understand them, and how to deal with them. So also during this show, I'm going to be giving away a CD. Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist, kindly lets me use his flute music in my show. And so you'll hear interludes of his beautiful, incredible music. He's a Native American Music Award winner, and his music is just incredibly peaceful. He's played all over the world, and his latest CD, Freedom's Hope, is one that we're going to be giving away by the end of the show. So stay tuned in, and we'll be back in a minute.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. I'm Dr. Patricia Pay, Dr. Patty, and today we are talking about busy brain syndrome, BBS, that whole monkey mind that just hijacks a lot of us and we get stuck in there and it really increases stress and anxiety. So I told you when we come back from break that I was going to teach you about rabbit trails. And this is a very effective technique. I've used it for a long time in my private practice. When I notice somebody who really does anticipatory anxiety, or they're always thinking, or they're always trying to be ahead of the game and ready for anything that happens, I often teach them this technique to help calm their brain. Put your hand in front of yourself, palm up, and look at the palm of your hand. And let's say in that palm of your hand, you could take a pen and you could write an issue. Okay. If you can't write it out and say a sentence or a few words about what the issue is, you're probably not clear enough about what you are rabbit trailing about. So in the palm of your hand, if you could write what the issue is, I'm worried about my child, or I've got financial concerns, or the mortgage is due and I don't have the money, or my health, okay, pick a rabbit trail. So that, or pick an issue for your rabbit trails. So that's your issue. And then if you go out from your fingers, those are all the different rabbit trails that you can run down trying to anticipate what needs to be done for that issue that's in the palm of your hand. Many people I see that do rabbit trails and do them well, because they're usually intelligent people, will go down a rabbit trail and say, okay, well, what if this happens and I can't do that? And what if, oh my gosh, what if that happens? And they'll go, oh, no, that's probably not going to happen. So they'll back up and they'll run down another rabbit trail. And I know people like myself, I can run down 20 rabbit trails pretty quickly, and I'm thinking each one through to the end as best I can. I will run down a rabbit trail, and I'll say, okay, if that happens, then I'm going to do this. And then I'll say, well, but what if that doesn't happen? What if this happens? And I can torment myself with what ifs. And so what I teach people is take a look at that. And know that when you've got an issue at hand, in the palm of your hand, literally, what are the things you're anticipating? what are the what ifs? And what are the, I'm going to be ready if that happens. And you're trying to think things through and find a solution to each thing. So one of the first coping skills for someone who does rabbit trails is that you stop and say, what am I ruminating about? What am I monkey braining, busy braining about? And be able to actually define it. So write it down. And then on a piece of paper, you can even write out all the different probabilities, possibilities, what ifs that you can think of about that issue. And run down each trail to the end and say, if that happens, this is what I'll do. And sometimes if that happens, your answer might be, I have no idea what I will do. If that's a conclusion you come to at the end of a rabbit trail, then write down, I will get help. I will seek advice. So rabbit trailing is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a bad thing when it takes you over and you never quite come to a conclusion of what you're going to do or what you're going to be ready for. So actually running the rabbit trail, coming to the end and saying, if that happens, this is what I'll do, lets your brain relax. So if you need to run 20 rabbit trails regarding an issue, go ahead and do it. But recognize what you're doing. Recognize what the issue is that you're trying to find a solution to or trying to be ready for. Then once you have decided that and you've run down the rabbit trail that you need to run and you've got something at the end saying, if that happens, this is what I'll do or I will seek help, then you back up and you say, what direction do I want to go? Which of those rabbit trails would I like to see what happens with this issue? And then what you do is you set your intention for that path. You've already run down the other paths and you've already anticipated the problems and you've already decided on some courses of action. You've even written it down. So now it's time to say, what do I want to happen? And then you stop and you set your intention. You almost literally turn your body toward that rabbit trail and hold that thought. So let's take an example about this. Let's say that you're worried about one of your children, because as parents, you know, you'd like to think that stops when they're 18, but guess what? Sorry, doesn't. We'll worry about them till the day we die. So let's say you're worried about one of your children, and in the palm of your hand, you would write, I'm worried about my child. Run down the rabbit trails. If this happens, I'm afraid it could hurt them. If this happens, I'm afraid their health might suffer. If this happens, I'm afraid they'll be sad and have a hard time. If this happens, what if they get a broken heart and they are just really tortured and having a difficult time of it? What if I screwed them up somehow when they were a kid by not being the perfect parent? What if it's my fault that my child's now suffering? So run down every single rabbit trail that you fear or you worry about in this issue where you're worried about your child. It can take you a while, especially if you're going to write them down, which I suggest. Then what you do is say, which of these rabbit trails am I most afraid of? And often one of those rabbit trails is, this person I care about could die, or I could die. I mean, if the thing you're worried about is your health or something like that, one of the rabbit trails might be, what if I died? Another rabbit trail might be, what if I'm in horrible pain and tortured? Or what if my child dies or is in horrible pain? Understand what it is you are most afraid of and actually write it down. So remember that the rabbit trails we're seeking don't always make sense. Sometimes we think we're preventing something from happening by scrambling our brain toward a direction. But what we're often doing is just trying to anticipate the things we most fear. So now you back out and you're staring at the palm of your hand and you've written on there, I'm worried about my child. So stop and think, as I worry about my child, what would I like to see happen for this individual? And write that intention out as one of the rabbit trails. I'd like them to handle their problem. I'd like them to use good judgment. I'd like them to value themselves and their health and their life. I'd like them to make good choices. I'd like them to be a functional adult, or I'd like them to be a very happy child. Whatever it is, whatever age your child is, write down the intention that you would like to see. And then hold that intention and focus on that. You've already run down the other rabbit trails, many of which you can do nothing about, especially if it's not your problem, it's theirs. But then you're going to really hold the space of, I would like to see this result from my worry, my concern. That way, you are trying to keep it in a positive light. You're also holding your own angst as valuable. Sometimes we need to run down rabbit trails and anticipate what could happen and know that we can see some consequences that could exist. If I think back on some of the do-overs in my life, I don't know about you, but my do-overs, I sometimes wish that I had stopped and thought out a consequence, or I blocked it out. I didn't want to think about it. And I have found that the more often that I run the rabbit trails and really weigh the possible consequences, I make better informed decisions. I make decisions that are in my best interest, which are often in the best interest of those around me. I can consciously put my best interest aside to keep the interest of the greater good or of my family. I can stop and say, if I do put my own best interest aside, is that healthy? Is it good for everybody else? Or am I creating more harm? So really consciously doing your rabbit trails lets you understand what you're afraid of, lets you understand any anticipatory anxiety, and lets you calm that brain. I've known that if I pay attention to the things I'm worrying about, then my brain calms down. It's like it's been heard, and I don't have to just have this free-floating kind of anxiety or traveling rapidly up and down different rabbit paths because I've really paid attention. So when I do rabbit trails, it's necessary for some of these things. And then sometimes I say, what are you doing, Patty? You're running down rabbit trails for no reason. You're hurting yourself. You're not helping whatever you're worried about. So what's the point here? The secret is to recognize it, to understand it, to utilize it to its best good, and then ask your brain to stop. I've set my intention for this. I don't need to run all the rabbit trails again. And I can stop. In my private practice, I often do this with couples. I will have one couple, one part of the couple who rabbit trails all the time, and it drives the other partner nuts. I have a couple that I just adore. They're wonderful. And she is a brilliant woman and high-powered and does a lot of really good things. And she runs rabbit trails. And he often thinks of her rabbit trails as bad him. You know, I won't say his name, but you know, she's doing it because I'm not good enough, or she's disapproving of what I did, or I'm in trouble. And so as he began to understand that this was just how her brain worked, and to stop taking her running rabbit trails personally, he relaxed a little bit. She also learned to communicate what she was doing and why. She learned to state what the problem was, the thing that I said you could write down in the palm of your hand, and she'd communicate to him, I'm concerned about X. And he'd go, okay. And she'd go, these are the rabbit trails I'm running. And she would explain some of them to him. The more conscious she's gotten about what her rabbit trails are, and the more he's relaxed, the less it feels like an issue between the two of them where she's attacking him or telling him he's doing something wrong. And the more supportive he's been on listening to what her rabbit trails are. He actually got pretty impressed that, wow, you thought about that? That never occurred to me, and it was pretty powerful. So it's a very good couples thing to do. It's a very good anti-anxiety exercise to do, and it's wonderful for focusing and setting your intention for things to be done correctly. Okay, we're going to take a break in just a moment, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some other ways that people do this busy brain syndrome. And by the end of the show, I want to give you some very specific coping skills. So in the next segment, I'm going to be giving away a CD. So let's take a break.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Shasta High's award-winning music department celebrates its 50th musical with the full theatrical production of The Little Mermaid, presented like Reading has never seen. All shows are at the beautiful David Marr Theater in Reading, May 2nd through the 4th and 9th through the 11th, featuring beloved songs such as Part of Your World, Under the Sea, Kiss the Girl, and many more. This classic tale with its heartwarming characters is one of the most celebrated Broadway musicals ever. For ticketing information or to see what they have planned as they celebrate 50 years of musical excellence, visit ShastaHighChoir.com.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are listening to the fifth track of Randy McGinnis's CD called Freedom's Hope. This is the track named Gratitude, and it's just beautiful. And this is the CD that we're going to be giving away during this segment, so stay tuned in. I'll tell you when to call. And I'm actually giving this away as a download. You don't even have to come into the studio to collect the CD. You can call from anywhere in the country, and we will give you how to download the CD and give you the access code. It's really simple, isn't hard. You can download it to your computer or your telephone and have Randy McGinnis's Native American flute music right there at your fingertips. So thank you, Randy, for letting us use your music. It is stunningly beautiful and really helps quell anxiety. That's one of the reasons I keep it on this show. Okay, so we are talking about busy brain syndrome, BBS, that monkey mind that many of us do and many of us have cultivated because we think it serves us well. And then we try to shut it down and it goes, what? You want me to do this? So I'm a firm believer that we can actually train our brains to assist us in our life or to harm us in our life. And busy brain syndrome is something we want to rein in, get control of, utilize it when we need to by running the rabbit trails appropriately, like I told you in the last segment, or start to quell this busy brain anxiety and find some peace in our lives. So in this segment, I want to look at some other ways that we tend to do busy brain and what are the causes from it. Have you noticed that in our lives, there are more and more of what I call electronic leashes? I remember back in the day when if you tried to call somebody, you either got them or you didn't, on their home line. That was this kind of phone thing that was attached to this cord that plugged into the wall. And sometimes if you were really creative, you had a 25-foot cord and you could kind of walk around with the base of the phone in your hand and the receiver in your ear. But we were tethered to a wall. So your things were limited. If you went out and did gardening in the backyard, you didn't have your phone with you. If you were on a walk, nobody could call you. So as we have evolved, first we ended up getting answering machines. People could call us, they could leave a message, and then we were expected to call back, right? So then we evolved into something worse. I think that's funny. We evolved into these electronic leashes called cell phones. And you could actually get somebody almost anywhere they were. I remember when cell phones first came out in the early 90s, they were these big bag phones, and you'd have a bag phone in the trunk of your car for emergencies. But you still didn't go on a walk with them, and you didn't work in the garden with them, and if you took a bath, there was no phone there next to you. So cell phones have evolved to become an extension of our own arm. Think about it. Where's your phone right this second? Probably in your hand. So they're a blessing and a curse. We have these electronic leashes that let people get a hold of us at a moment's notice. They text us and expect an answer instantly. We see emails all day long. If we don't respond quickly enough, somebody wants to know what's wrong. So these electronic leashes create stress, and they add to this idea of busy brain syndrome. When we feel like we have to constantly check our phone to see if someone's trying to get a hold of us, we are interrupting our thought process on whatever else we're doing. So say you're reading a book. How often during reading a book do you set the book down and check your phone? How often do you check your phone during the middle of a Netflix binge that you're doing? Think of the things that you like to do, and can you do those without your electronic leash? The people that can do that are impressive. I have some friends that just purposely turn their phone off. I have some friends that keep a basket by their front door, and it says, park your cell phone here. And they even have a charging station there to really encourage people to park their cell phone there. They're trying to eliminate electronic leashes being part of the social experience. But let's look at the idea of the electronic leashes adding to this busy brain syndrome, where we are constantly interrupting ourselves with a separate and different thought. It can be very stressful. You can go back to my podcast about how technology affects our relationships, and they'll speak more about this whole electronic phenomenon. But the other thing is, as we are trying to juggle our lives and take care of all the things we need to do, we end up trying to fit 10 pounds worth of stuff into a 3-pound bag of our lives. And in my podcast about stress, I talk about a 10 and 3 that we just can't keep stuffing our bags fuller and fuller. It doesn't work. So that's part of what helps create this busy brain syndrome. We are trying to do so much and keep track of so much that we are dividing ourselves into many, many different directions. So combine that with this whole superhero kind of attitude of, I need to be a really good mom, and I need to keep a clean house, and I need to cook well, or I need to do my job, I need to help people. Those are just some examples of like what my brain does with the superhero thing. What does yours do? How do you try to be everything to everybody? How do you try to be the best that you can be? Put pressure on yourself to do more, be healthier, weigh less, do more exercise, make more money. I mean, whatever it is you're pushing on yourself to do to be the superhero, how does that play into what your busy brain is doing? Are you constantly trying to think of things you should be doing or could have been doing or would be a better person if you did? All of these stresses that we put on ourselves of things we should accomplish and wish we could accomplish feeds that busy brain syndrome. So in my practice, I often see people who they just feel inadequate, and they feel judged by themselves, by others, and they're constantly trying to do more and be better. And the flip side of that is sometimes the stress is so much that people say, I can't. I can't keep up. I can't compete. I can't keep going. And they start to give up. And that's where depression and anxiety really start to take over and affect how they are functioning. So the electronic leashes, the constant stuffing our bags way too full, getting 10 pounds of stuff in your 3-pound bag, trying to be the superhero in your life, and trying to be everything to everybody and not feel less than, not feel inadequate, are all part of what creates busy brain syndrome. So there's a portion of our busy brain running down rabbit trails, all this stuff, that is about fear. What am I afraid could happen? And some of it is about anticipatory anxiety. What am I trying to prevent? And there's a portion of it that is about trying not to feel. We allow our brains to run away with us because it's too scary to feel the things we don't want to feel. After my husband died of behavioral variant frontal temporal degeneration, the grief was profound. In all my years of doing psychotherapy with people, I've helped so many people grieve from traumatic loss, loss of children, just horrible grief situations. And what I recognized is when my brain got quiet, which the quietest time for me is in the middle of the night when I wake up, and all of a sudden it's dark and quiet and nothing's distracting me, I would feel way more than I wanted to feel. That I felt like I could feel. Sometimes I felt like I was drowning. And the grief was so profound and so painful that it was easier for me to be awake and be running my thoughts in a bunch of different directions. So I'm a real firm believer of sitting and holding the dog poop. And what I recognized was that was something I needed to hold. So I'd lay there in the middle of the night and I'd say, what is it you can't feel? What do you not want to feel? What is so overwhelming that you think it's going to take you down, take you under? And it was the loss and the grief and the horrendousness of letting go of a 39-year relationship and shifting how our family was. And I didn't want to feel that because I couldn't fix it. I couldn't change it. I could only hold the profound emotions. So what I decided to do, and I did do this, I would give myself quiet time in my head, and I would actually hold that grief. And I would let it wash over me, and I'd let it be there. And I'm not saying it was easy. It was often so painful. I think sometimes I looked pretty crazy. I'd lay on the floor and scream into the carpet. You know, I just had to experience it. But it came from recognizing that the constant thinking and the running rabbit trails and trying to fix things and trying not to feel things was fueling that busy brain syndrome. So I had this secondary gain. I had this positive reinforcement to have the busy brain because it felt like it was keeping me from hurting. And when I really sat with it and recognized that the avoidance I was doing with busy brain syndrome at times would keep me from feeling the loss and the grief, but it was not helping me. The way out is through. You've heard me say that many times. I had to move through it and experience it in order to begin to function again, begin to heal. And profound grief is not something you ever heal from. It does not go away. You simply learn to live with it, to not experience it every moment, every breath that you take, and you start to begin to move into your life. But that grief will always be there. I just needed to stop trying to cope with that grief and that loss by busying up my brain so I didn't feel it. So I'm challenging all of you. What is it you're avoiding with your busy brain syndrome? What are the fears that you need to face to say, why do I let my brain run amok to keep me from feeling this or anticipating that or worrying or being afraid that this or that could happen? What are my rabbit trails that I'm running, and how effective are those, or how debilitating are those to my peace of mind? So stop. And during this next break, I really want you to hold your pile of dog poop and say, what have I been avoiding by making my brain go 100 miles an hour? So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to give you some very specific coping skills for busy brain syndrome. But now, if you would like to call in, you can speak to my producer, Jared. The phone number is 1-530-605-4567. 605-4567. Area code 530-605-457. And Jared can tell you, he's going to give you the code to download Freedom's Hope, Randy McGinnis's Native American Flute CD. So give us a call, and we'll be back in a minute.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Redding, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You are listening to the song called Stargazer, which is track two from Randy McGinnis' CD, Freedom's Hope. That's Randy's sixth CD, and it's simply stunningly beautiful. We are giving away that CD today. So if you want to win that CD, just call into the show, area code 530-605-4567. My producer, Jared, will give you the download code, and you can download it right to your phone or your computer. You don't even have to wait for it. You can do it right now. So thank you, Randy McGinnis, for your beautiful Native American flute music and your generosity in sharing it to be part of the music of my show. So we are talking about BBS, Busy Brain Syndrome. How do you recognize it? What is it? And now what I want to give you are some specific coping skills for calming down your mind. And why is it important to get rid of this busy brain syndrome, or to quell it as best we can? It's because it can take over our life. It can create anxiety. It can make us look pretty ADHD, even when we're not. And it can keep us living in fear instead of trying to live in a mindful place where we can experience some happiness. I love the saying that Cahil Gibran said, "My happiness is trying to catch me, but my anxiety is running too fast." I think that's just very profound. If we learn to stand still and quiet our brain, it's really possible for peace and happiness to find us, because we can hear it instead of running too fast. So the first part of coping with busy brain syndrome is to stop and say why, and look at it and listen and use the techniques that I was giving you in the first part of the show. There is a really important way to quiet your mind. The first part is to tell yourself you're setting your intention to do so. You're recognizing that it's difficult for you. And you want to practice the things that quiet your mind, that work for you, as opposed to giving your brain permission to run amok, because that's part of the battle. We tend to give ourselves permission. So the first thing I want you to do is stop and say, what am I trying to fix? And do the things I taught you earlier in the show. But then I want you to find, what is your stress release? My definition of a stress release is something that takes your full attention and you cannot think of anything else. That happens for me when I'm playing music. I play piano and classical flute and Native American flute and didgeridoo. When I'm playing music and I really get into it, I can be gone because I can't think of anything else, especially if I'm playing piano. I've got left brain, right brain going with bass and treble, and it takes all of my thinking. So a stress release is something that takes over what you're doing. And I want you to notice something. If you cannot find a stress release where your mind can quiet and you can focus, your body may begin to create that stress relief for you. Think of the physical ailments that people have, like back pain or migraines or irritable bowel syndrome, stomach aches, severe heartburn, things like that. When you are feeling extreme pain, your brain has a hard time thinking about anything else. If you allowed your brain to calm down, could you help heal some of the physical ailments that provide that for you? Let's say your body is smart, and when you can't shut your brain up and find some peace and some quiet, let's say your body blesses you with a migraine. Any of you that suffer with migraines, I've had many friends and clients that have suffered with them, would say, blesses me, Patty? That's ridiculous. But let's say your body's taking care of you. I'm giving you a migraine, and guess what? You can't think of anything else that you worry about except for the pain you're experiencing right now. So let's say you begin to offer your body a stress release, something that takes your full attention. My husband that died, Rich, and I used to teach clogging. We did that for many, many years. Clogging is a percussive style of dance similar to tap, but way cooler. It's really fun. And we had three exhibition teams, and I was a choreographer and the teacher for the teams. And when we were clogging, you couldn't think of anything else. You had to think of the music and what you were doing and the dance moves. And it was a wonderful stress release. You could go into a clogging practice, or I could go into choreographing a dance, and I could think of nothing else except for what I was doing. So a stress release is about finding that thing that takes your attention in a positive way. So when you're all done, you go, whoa, that was fun. All right. The other thing is, when you find yourself doing this busy brain syndrome, do this thing I call bubble it. It's my phrase because it's what works for me, and I've taught it to many people in my practice. What you do is you pull out a piece of paper and a pen, and you draw a bunch of big bubbles on the page. Like, you know, I draw like 2 or 3 inch size bubbles. And those are all the things my brain is ruminating about. And I can go like 20 directions at once. I recognize this. So in each of the bubbles, I write down the things I'm concerned about. And they could be little and dumb, or they could be big and huge. So I write down everything I'm worrying about. And then I have a concrete definition of the things that I'm worrying about. I also will notice if I'm running rabbit trails on any one of those issues or multiple issues at one time. And I often can go back to sleep after I've bubbled it and said, I'm worried about all these things. I can't do anything about them at 2 or 3 in the morning. Patty, quiet your brain. Breathe. Which brings me to the next coping skill. You need to learn how to breathe. And there's a couple of ways to do it. I mean, people tell you that all the time. Just breathe. Okay. In fact, in my office, there's a sign up near the ceiling, this cursive wood sign that says, breathe. And some of my clients have taken a picture for it to be their wallpaper on their phones. But what you're going to do to breathe is you're going to stare at something gently, reduce your vision down to about the size of a quarter, and stare gently. And as you stare at that spot, you're going to breathe in. You're going to stop and focus on your spot. Find the space between your inhale and your exhale, and then you're going to breathe out. When you are rabbit trailing, when you are busy brain syndrome, monkey mind, you need to breathe. Finding a spot to soft focus, breathe in for 4 counts. Focus on that empty space between your intake and your outtake breath, and then breathe out for 4 seconds. It sounds trite, and it sounds like it's too simplistic, but sometimes stopping your brain to think about your breath and the space between your breath calms your mind. Then you can go back to doing some of those other coping skills I gave you. What are the rabbit trails you're running? What is the issue that's in the palm of your hand? You can bubble it and say, these are all the things I'm worrying about and thinking about. So you want to replace the worry and the rabbit trails and the constant busy brain syndrome. You want to replace it with being here in your present life, because anxiety comes from thinking, that anticipatory anxiety. And the way out of that overthinking is in experiencing. So don't make your body have to give you a migraine or back pain or a stomach ache to stop your busy brain. Experience what you are doing right here, right now. Touch the surface under your hands. What does a table feel like? What does a chair feel like? What does your phone feel like in your hand? Bring yourself right into the here and now and focus on what is in front of you. Notice the temperature in the room. Is there a breeze? Is the sun shining? Is it cloudy? Look around you and experience your environment with exactly what you're in right at the moment. So we want to replace thinking with experiencing. But the idea of just stop it, just don't do that, cut it out, is very difficult for people who do busy brain syndrome. I actually have known some people that when you ask them, what are you thinking about, they can say, nothing. You go, really? People can do that? There are people that can do that. There's people that do it well. I just happen not to be one of them. But I will continue to work on it. And I want you to work on it too, because I want you to recognize how busy brain syndrome can be harming your life, creating anxiety for you, hurting you, and making you unhappy. So we want to move you towards happiness and not like your, let your anxiety run your life. I want to take a moment to reach out to Doreen. She called in and she got the code for Freedom's Hope. And I'm so glad that she got the album. Thank you, Doreen. And thank you for your compliment on the show. Jared told me that you like the show a lot. I deeply appreciate it. And before we're done, we have a caller on the line and he would like to say something. Carl, welcome.
Hey, you know what? This has just been a great show. You know, if you're a busy person and you've got so many things going on, and then you lay there at night and, you know, you think about the next day and all this, and sometimes, I mean, it just keeps going on. I think people in today's society with all the, you know, with the social media, the iPhones and everything going on, your show today ought to be required listening for college students, politicians, and people in the radio business. But what a wonderful, I just really have enjoyed it.
I'm so thankful. Thank you so much for calling in. I love hearing from people. I've been getting emails from people I don't even know. I've been getting a lot of feedback from people saying you helped me so much. And it just makes my heart sing, because it is the reason for Therapy in a Nutshell. I want to help heal people.
I tell you what, you know, all of these are archived, and we need to put it together in such a way, you know, we can cut and paste or however you want to do it, and people could just go, you know, to your website and just look at it, or, mm-hmm. you know, or your Facebook page and go, and you look at the different shows you've had and go, well, you know what, I need to know more about that. But,
that's awesome. Thank you. And, you know, they are available on podcasts. You can go to the Anchor app for free, and it's safe. Or you can go to iTunes or Spotify and download the podcast. We take the radio show that I do here every Saturday, and we turn it into a podcast to continue helping people. And it is getting thousands of hits. I just love it.
It should get thousands of hits, Patty. You just do so much for so many people. So thank you very much. And you know what? being on our station is, you know, it's an honor for us, too.
Oh, thank you so much, Carl. Thank you so much. You and Linda are awesome people.
Appreciate
you calling in. Take care. Have a good day.
You too.
That was Carl Bott, everybody. He's just a brilliant man who's doing an incredible work, too, in helping people around the country. He does amazing stuff. So I want to thank you for calling in, Carl, and Doreen for winning the CD. Busy brain syndrome is important, and like Carl said, it should be required listening so that we can help people calm down. So I want to, before we end, I want to give you one thought. What time is it right now? The answer